becoming a reproduction of Christ as the tree of life, for the ministry of life. These two crucial matters are not just for selected saints that are serving, older brothers or sisters that may be maturing, for those who serve the Lord full time. The desire of the Lord's heart, as we will see to some extent, depending on our openness for the light to shine unhindered, God's desire is to make us all a reproduction of his firstborn son as the tree of life. And as those who are in this process of becoming such a reproduction, they will spontaneously minister life to anyone and everyone they contact. And in our fellowship and church meetings, we will minister life to one another. And then maybe, hopefully, in our lifetime, the greatest prophecy will be fulfilled, uttered by the Lord Jesus in Matthew 16:18. I will build my church. And when in the eyes of the Lord, the saints who are becoming overcomers in the churches, not the churches themselves, the serious Christ-seeking, allow me to add, conference attending in personal or Zoom, they're serious about this. We want the Lord to come back. But for whom? For his bride? And the bride will be presented to the Lord as his counterpart, because first she had become the body of Christ built up. Two other matters related to the subject, and then I'll insert a couple matters, you'll see, and then we'll go through the outline. And I present this positively, although it's sobering. It's positive. I'm standing here now. But the time is coming when I and you and we all will stand somewhere else before the judgment seat of Christ. And the Son of Man will be there and make clear to us his understanding of two main things concerning us: our person and living, and our work and our service. We see this in Matthew 25. You have the virgins, the wise ones have oil in their vessels, but the basic thought is, they are constituted with the life-giving spirit. And then there are the servants, the slaves. And sad to say, as the years have gone by, the service in the churches, the practical service, has been devastated in so many places. We don't have time. We want to have a balanced life. We can't do this. Well, I'm not going to get into that beyond those comments. He will ask, I gave you this talent. What did you do? And so this word, this message, I sincerely believe, and the Lord himself who is present will testify, this expresses the longing in his heart for the churches and the saints in the Lord's recovery right now. I want to carry out my central work in each one of you personally to make my home in your heart, to be formed in you, to lead you to the maturity in life, and then manifest your function as a member of the body of Christ. Now, the two things I will insert. I didn't plan on this when I was writing the outline, but we don't live by plans. We live by the anointing and the Spirit flowing. At this point, I will ask you one question and give my answer. You can take it or leave it. It's okay. And then after I finish the message, as far as the outline goes, there'll be a concluding word with the second question. But here's the first of the two questions. Why does God want you to eat, enjoy, and live by the tree of life? I'll say it again, but changing one word. Why does God need you to eat, enjoy, and live by the tree of life? The first mention of the tree of life in the Bible is where? Genesis 2:9. But just for a kind of a pleasant moment, I want to tell you something quite deep now about the Bible. Okay, get ready. Genesis 2 comes after Genesis 1. Oh. Okay. Why do I say that in such a way? The answer to the question is, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over every living thing. Genesis 1:26. And then verse 28. They must subdue the earth. This is why we were created. I rarely say something as personal as this. But 2 minutes before I came into the meeting place and sat down, the Lord inwardly, the indwelling Christ, spoke and said this, Ron, this is why you were born. This is why I saved you. And this is why I have kept you here. We are here, created, redeemed, and saved for God's purpose, that we would express Him. Christ is the image of God. We express Him. And the enemy has usurped the earth, and we are here to represent the Lord's government, His authority, to deal with the enemy. And it's with this in view that I partake, and many of you do and will partake, of the tree of life for this. I'm not just eating now because this is an enjoyable thing and it's so simple. We are eating for the fulfillment of God's purpose. And the second part is related to eating. And I've been wondering a little bit, because we have been wonderfully emphasized this word eating. But what does eating really mean? So let's just use our physical human life for an example. I assume most of you had breakfast today. And the taste, the enjoyment is in our mouths, right? Then where does the food go? It goes to your stomach, And does it stay there forever? Does it just lodge itself there until your stomach is so full you can't do anything else? No. You eat, digest, assimilate, be constituted, and grow. And so we need to realize we want to have a healthy, normal eating of the tree of life with the realization, and this may surprise you, but I checked this out through various ways in the ministry around 8:30 this morning or 9 o'clock this morning. I said, I remember this utterance. The human spirit is our spiritual stomach. And I found out this as I was checking through the life study of 1 and 2 Thessalonians. The function of our spirit is to worship God, contact God, receive God, retain God, and digest God. So once the food is digested in your stomach, then what? Is it discharged? Certain elements are. Then it has to be assimilated. Every cell in the body has to. Then that is what causes growth. I am aware of a very dear brother. I don't know if he's still on the earth. He would be even older than I, which makes him truly ancient. And he would read two or three life messages a day and require this of his wife. But for decades, no growth in life because it was not digested. It was not assimilated. It just came in and went out. So I just wanted to bring that to your awareness. And the assimilation is the spreading of what we have taken in from the tree of life. It needs to spread outwardly from our spirit to all of our inward parts. So on our side, we need to open all of our inward parts to allow the spirit to flow into us. So we have the taking in for enjoyment, the digestion, the assimilation, and then there will be a reconstitution of our being, and the result, you will grow. If there are parents, young parents, it's so delightful to get an email with a picture of the newborn baby with mommy in the hospital bed or whatever, and to realize before long, one will be walking in 22 years. If we're not all been raptured by then, some of them might be right here in the full-time training. But the parents consider it very normal. When you feed them healthy food, they grow. If there's not growth, there's something abnormal taking place. And that is, we need thorough digestion and assimilation. And I would just suggest something very simple. You just have a conversation with the Lord to say, Lord, I want healthy digestion. I want to grow in life in a normal way. I want to reach maturity far before the end of my course so that I can really serve you in the body to fulfill your heart's desire. And he will show you. Then if in a secondary way you need fellowship, fellowship is life flowing in the body all the time. So now we come to the outline itself, Roman numeral 1. In God's economy, we are not only eaters of the tree of life, but we also are branches of this tree. And we heard a very clear supplying, life-imparting message on this. And so when we sang, you know, we're a branch in the vine. Right now, we're all in the vine together. Wow, and the life is flowing from the vine to all of us. Our spirit is flowing. But we need to go beyond that we may, not will. Because this implies to our life in the present age. If we say will, that will be by the end of the millennial kingdom. We may eventually become a small tree of life, a reproduction of Christ as the tree of life. And this thought about being a reproduction of Christ as the tree of life is based upon the thought of Christ reproducing himself in each one of us by the shaping function of the law of the Spirit of life. And so, the Lord wants to make us all not only eaters of the tree, not only branches of the tree, but miniature trees. And all these miniature trees are part of a corporate tree. And the head of the corporate tree is Christ, the tree of life himself. And this eventually will become his counterpart, his bride, the New Jerusalem. And for eternity, we will be dependent on the tree of life. We will drink, eat, breathe, enjoy, reign forever. No one would say in the conversation, if there are such things, well, we've been here 3.5 billion years, and someone else would say, wait a minute now, we don't have even any time. How will things will be ever new? They'll be ever new. God is ever new. I'm not afraid, really. I've never been afraid of aging. I really detest these emails that come, this kind of product, to how to avoid aging. I like to tell them, outwardly I'm aging. Inwardly, I'm getting renewed day by day. And so are you. Because this reproduction is taking place. Now we read the subpoints to make this somewhat clear. A, God's intention is that all the believers in Christ become a reproduction of Christ, the God-man. John 12:24, there was just one grain. It fell into the ground and died and produced many grains. So all of you, good morning grains, you are a reproduction of the first grain. And get ready, the grain will grow, the shell of the grain will be broken, and we'll all be blended together as one loaf. And Romans 8:29, listen, God predestinated you to be conformed to the image of his firstborn son. That was settled. Is that okay with you? That God decided your eternal destiny without asking how you feel about it? I mean, he is God. And when he acts as God, that's just it. Well, that is our predestination. And so the only option is this. When will we be conformed to the image of the firstborn son? Will it be during our lifetime, our journey on the earth? Or will it be during the 1,000 years of the millennial kingdom, when we are not in the glory of the kingdom? We're in some other realm called the outer darkness, but what and where it is, I don't think the Bible shows us. So now is the time. If you're young, it's not too soon. If you are truly elderly, it's not too late. Why can I say it's not too late? And there's just this inner sense that following this conference, it will not only be the Spirit of life operating, it will be the sevenfold intensified Spirit operating throughout the earth. And the seven spirits can do a lot in 1 month. Don't let the enemy lie to you. if you have come back from a time being distracted and being away, our God will restore the years the locusts have eaten and put the enemy to shame to say, now see what I will do. When I work in this one's life by the sevenfold intensified spirit, they're going to make it all the way to the end. And you're on your way to your end. New Jerusalem for us, lake of fire for you. And so we need to realize this is the central work of God. My life changed inwardly. My daily life with the Lord changed inwardly. When this light shined, this is the central work. To build yourself into my being, to make your home in me, to saturate every part of my being. This is the governing prayer for myself and for you. Becoming a reproduction of Christ requires that we be reborn of the pneumatic Christ in our spirit and then be gradually transformed by the pneumatic Christ in our soul. We become Christ's reproduction by a process. So this is gradual because it's organic. That involves the riches of the divine life being dispensed into us and experienced by us. When you come to the Lord in the morning the best way you can, what do you think God's intention is when He's with you? You think mainly it's to deal with you? Well, we have to deal with the things. There's no doubt. We will never neglect this. But that's like taking a thorough shower and washing our garments in the blood of the Lamb. He wants to dispense more of Himself into you. This is another dispensing day. It's not just Memorial Day. It's Divine Dispensing Day. In order to become a reproduction of Christ as our model, we need to experience Christ, okay? We need to experience Christ. From this point on, the whole message is experiential. Experience Christ as the one living in us. Right now, there's a person living in you. Not just being there, like a prisoner in a cell. He's living in you, being formed in us, and making His home in our hearts. Galatians 2:20, Christ is living in us. Galatians 4:19, Christ is being formed in us. What does that mean? For Christ to be formed in us means that He is growing throughout our entire being. We allow Him to grow, and then His form will take place. We will be transformed, and then we will be conformed. And making His home in our hearts. This is the most crucial prayer in the New Testament concerning spiritual experience. Ephesians 3. Every day, Lord, strengthen my inner man with power so that Christ may make His home in my heart. Okay? Your heart is not a vacation hut for Him. It's not a motel. He wants to make His home there. And who has been living there until now? Well, you, me, and my heart. Now the Lord is making His home, and He's going to go room by room. Oh, your mind. Certain memories you have, they're not beneficial. They need to be washed away. Oh, your imagination. You're living in a dream world. Your way of thinking, your concepts, this is why a drastic change of concept, not just getting a new idea, something is just thrust out of our being. And then in our emotion, brothers, don't be afraid, okay, to have feelings. Jesus wept. There are times when we should be able to express whatever our feeling is. Because Christ has feelings and then will. Then point 4, as we become a reproduction of Christ spontaneously, we will live by Christ as the bountiful supply of His Spirit. It's effortless. We just do it. That's why that song, 891, maybe there'll be a time I'll let you know where it came from and how it came from. But we just, no struggle, no strife. We're just contacting the Lord, and life is spontaneous. When I was in my early 20s and a theology student in Princeton, a fellow student, you know, quite friendly, just said, "Ron, you need to be more spontaneous," because I was always quite thoughtful and deliberate and careful and clear. And so this person shared it in a proper way, and so I decided, I'm going to be more spontaneous. Then I realized, this is all false. My spontaneity is the indwelling Christ. And I'm being spontaneous right now. And even mentioning this, because life is flowing spontaneously. Oh, to be saved from all this self-effort. And just to let the Lord live in us. Then point B in Genesis 2:9, the tree of life was unique. But the tree of life has been planted into us and is growing in us, causing us to become a small tree of life. During this conference, and a little bit before this conference, just because of the whole COVID thing and our being separated from each other for so long, and then I saw this married couple I've known for decades. I haven't seen them for 2 years. And as we're just standing there fellowshipping, my wife and I, with them, I could almost weep for joy. They have no idea how much more Christ has been built into their being. How much they have grown through all the things they have passed through in the last few years. Because this is really true. The tree of life has been planted into you. It will never be uprooted. Now the tree of life is growing in you. When you walk out of this meeting hall, after being in this conference for the 6 meetings, you're going to walk out through that door with more tree of life inside of you than when you did on Friday evening. This was a tree of life growing conference. In who? In us. I hope you have the faith to say, the tree of life is growing in me. Okay, say it. Amen. And it's causing you to become a small tree of life. Now we go on to the matter of the ministry of life. As the reproduction of Christ, as the tree of life, we have the ministry of life. Now, this requires a minute or two. When you hear the word ministry, what really comes to mind? Is it someone like, okay, Brother Ron is there along with the other 5 brothers, and they minister the word. They stand on the platform for 70, 75 minutes or so and give a message. Well, that is correct, but it's too narrow. According to Philippians 4, all the members of the body are being perfected unto the work of the ministry. We'll come back to that. Every member of your body right now is functioning in the way of life. There's life in your eyes. My eyes behind my trifocals, which symbolize the triune God. So my vision is through the triune God. Also 3 is the number of resurrection. Well, we all, as members of the body, have a portion of Christ that no one else in the universe, to be dramatic, has his portion except you. That's why I encourage the trainees, you come to the microphone to say something, others ahead of you spoke on the same point. Don't be discouraged. Speak the same point because only you have this measure of life and we need to drink of your flowing spirit. And so the ministry of life is just the capacity to impart life into others. But that's the result of our becoming. What we do is depends on what we are. What we are in Christ will determine what we do in Christ. Now we can read the points that should make this somewhat clear. Because we are believers in Christ and children of God, we not only have eternal life and may experience eternal life, but we can minister this life to other members of the body of Christ. Okay, now I'm going to ask an easygoing question to all the brothers in the front row. Okay, a two-part question. I, Brother Ron, can I minister life to you? Okay, but here's the real question. You, brothers, are you able to minister life to me?
Amen.
Yes, you are.
Amen.
You don't have to wait 60 years to do that. You need to realize you're a member of the body. You have a measure of Christ. You may not, don't try to figure out what kind of member you are. You never need to know. My thumb isn't saying, oh, now I'm just thumb conscious right now. I just feel so awkward. My thumb is hanging here. And my left thumb is complaining. Why does the right thumb get all the attention? No, we're all just living members of the body. You can minister life to others. From the day you were saved, you could do that. You could bring another person to salvation. B, to minister life is to impart life. When we have a surplus of life, we can minister from this supply to others. So we need to take in more of the tree of life so that we have a surplus for others, not just for us to barely make it through the day, but to have a supply that can effortlessly be imparted to others. C, the service in the church is a life-ministering service, a service of supplying others with the divine life. When I moved to Anaheim in April of 1974, and my children were young, the oldest was six, the youngest one was a little boy, a little baby. And when I took them, when I came to pick them up from children's meeting or children's service, one time, Sister Lee came with my youngest child, and I realized what a blessing that my little boy could be cared for by this member of the body. So being with the young people, oh, what an opportunity, but also what a responsibility not to lay the law upon them, minister the tree of life to them. So we all have some service, ministering service. One, we need to be impressed with this point and look to the Lord that our service would become an outlet for his life. We're going to stand before the Lord for our living and our service. We can't just choose what we prefer. We are servants. I think this whole new generation has to realize this. Part of our church life is the practical, actual service. How could we meet here if dear saints, especially related to the Living Stream ministry, labor so much? How can this be on Zoom? How can this be recorded? How can the books be available? How can they be edited? All these things. It's just a privilege to be a serving one in the body of Christ. One, we need to be impressed with this point and look to the Lord that our service would become an outlet for his life. That's restated. Two, the life that we supply to others is in the Spirit. The Spirit is mingled with our spirit. And the life of God is located, abides, and grows in the mingled spirit. If we would supply the saints with life, we must release our spirit. For the divine life is in the mingled spirit. After you've had a healthy meal, I don't know anything about, medicine and all that. What should you do? Lie down and take a nap? I would say the best thing to do is exercise. Take a nice brisk walk. So after you eat the tree of life, exercise your spirit. Then the combination will release life into others. Little b, if our spirit cannot be released, the divine life has no way to be released. And we'll come back to this point in another section shortly. KD. If we would live as a reproduction of Christ, as the tree of life, we need to be deeply impressed with the necessity of being able to minister life. It's so wise of God our Creator, the way He has ordained for a child to be born. He's conceived in his mother's womb. In the eyes of God, that is the development of a person. It's not a thing. You can't hide behind the word fetus. And then it's a person only when he's born. We are one with God in this view. And so, this life needs to develop in us. We need to be deeply impressed that this life has been born into us, and there's a necessity to minister life. Now, what will make this a necessity is your realization that you're not living alone. You're a member of the body of Christ. And you will still have a deep, precious personal life with the Lord, but you'll have the sense, you may not always be thinking this, but this will be the sense, now I'm with the Lord, for me and the Lord, and for the body. I want to grow in life for the body. I am passing through this difficult situation for Christ to be formed in me for the body. This is a necessity. We need to be deeply impressed. So first we need more reproduction of Christ, then more ministry of life. This will be a cycle, day by day, more reproduction. Day by day, more ministering. More ministering, more reproduction. Don't just sit there until you feel the reproduction has reached its peak. But the next step is rapture. Not a good idea. It's just let the cycle be going every day. And I believe when we come together in just several weeks, in July, we realize we're going to have a July training. In alive, in here, whether it's mass or not, I don't care. We're going to be here. And when you come back, or if you see this on Zoom or whatever, I fully believe there'll be more tree of life grown in you in 5 weeks and more capacity to minister life now. So we go through the subpoints. The service that God wants from us does not focus on doing a work, but on ministering life. In order to minister life to others, we need to be joined to Christ, abide in Christ, and give him the ground in us to fill us so that his life, nature, likes, and inclination become our life, nature, likes, and inclination. Now we're coming to section E, quite a lengthy section. And now you need to be ready to make a turn, whether you are in your 20s or in your 60s or older. There's a burden in my heart concerning all of you regarding this. I had to tell the Lord regarding this message. I will not hold back anything you have burdened me to say. I will not just speak certain points that are easily received and that make you want to leap and skip with joy. But there are other points related to your maturity, to your being an overcomer, to your ministering life or the building up of the body. And so we need this section here in its parts. To minister the body is to have the outflow of life. Our service is God's flowing out to supply others with the divine life. Our spirit must flow outwardly. But it's surrounded by certain elements, not just our physical body, but also our soul in all of its aspects. Life is the content of God and the flowing out of God. So we have this life not only as our content, it needs to be the flowing out of God. There is a desperate need for this in every aspect of the church life. Oh, to sit in a meeting. I'm just remembering what was 2 years ago in the district where I am. Lord's Day morning meeting. So many dear saints, maybe 40 or 50%. Are silent through the whole meeting. No outflow. Dear ones, don't you realize the seriousness of this? You're a member of the body of Christ. When will we have the meetings in which we worship with the riches of Christ? The point is we need to have an outflow. God's content is God's being. And God's flowing out, just the phlegm, flowing out is the impartation of himself as life to us. Now we come to two rather weighty points. And those that are quite young in front of me, don't be afraid of this. Don't try to make this happen. Just be willing before the Lord to have the experiences that you need for life to flow out of you all the time, unhindered. Don't you want to be that kind of believer? And now, life can flow to a certain extent, but when you experience points 2 and 3, there will be an outflow beyond anything you ever hoped. In order to be released from our spirit, our outer man must be dealt with and broken. Dealt with and broken. I'll read the subpoints, and then I want to share something from a hymn. If our outer man is not broken, there cannot be a pure flow of the divine life. If we want the divine life to be released from within us, we must be subdued in our soul and let our spirit dominate and rule over every matter. Then the Lord's life will be able to flow out. Our outer man must be dealt with, dealt with and broken. And this will happen to every one of us because we're tripartite, body, then the body, the soul, within the soul, the spirit. The Lord is with our spirit. He wants to flow out from our spirit, make his home in our heart, and flow out through the functions of our soul. And sometimes saints, when they hear a word, even if it's only a partial message on the breaking of the outer man, they may just turn things off. That's not for me. I want joy. I want this. And it's one thing if someone is 23 years old and has that young person's response. But eventually, older saints, and the Lord knows my heart aches beyond words. It would be inappropriate to do so. I would just stop speaking for a moment and weep before you. Dear brothers and sisters who have been in the Lord's recovery for decades, 4, 5 decades, who are still whole and unbroken, their growth of life stopped more than 30 years ago. This is not a judgment. This is not condemnation. This is a discernment in love. I remember being somewhat intrigued with that book, The Breaking of the Outer Man for the Release of the Spirit. And when I had the opportunity, after I'd been in the recovery for 4 years, I asked Brother Lee about it. What does it mean to experience the breaking of the outer man? And he wisely said, spirituality is a body matter. So that really turned me into another direction. It took me many years to understand what he said. But I'll just say this much. I can't before the Lord ever say anything more. In the early night of July 30th, 1981, the Lord visited me in a particular way. And with mighty power, broke through the strongest part of my being. And he knew which it was. It was not this or that. It was something whole. And he was there and I was there. And I can just say this much. I said, please don't kill me. He had no intention. Then a few weeks later, a few dozen of us brothers were spending a Thursday evening with Brother Lee, and before the meeting we were having a meal together. I was sitting next to him. And he just made this comment. He said, Ron, you don't trust yourself anymore. And I realized he knew. And I believe some prayed. It's a dreadful thing. And I've seen this happen again with a heart aching because of love. A dear brother, a dear sister, been active in the church life for decades. They come to the end of their life. They're now with the Lord, altogether whole. They wouldn't let the Lord touch them. And so the Lord said, okay. You want to save yourself? Okay. We'll take care of this later. And the Lord directed me, I believe, to a hymn in our hymnal. I'll give you the number after I read most of it. If I kind of go on and say, without the number, you could say, Brother Ron, number please. Okay. My memory is keen, but I can forget stuff like this. So I'm happy for you to say number, please. It's from the various aspects of the inner life, breaking and releasing. The Spirit of the Triune God within our spirit now doth rest. It ever seeks through us to flow, that God in Christ may be expressed. He's seeking to flow. Right now. But by the outward natural man, the spirit is confined within. Instead of giving him a home, a prison, we become to him. He's like a treasure of great worth contained in vessels, earthen made. The vessel must be broken through and thus the treasure be displayed. Oh, how the Lord ourself must break. Our outward man does so impede. It must be broken thoroughly, and thus the spirit will be freed. This is the reason why the Lord for us a certain measure makes of circumstantial suffering. 'Tis thus our outward man he breaks. The outward man, the self, the soul must be consumed, must be decreased. The inner man, our spirit then, shall with the Lord be released. Lord, grant thy holy brokenness. Deliver me from being whole. And make me willing to receive the wounds that thou wouldst give my soul. Oh, cause me to appreciate the breaking, never to complain. And grant that I may value more all kinds of loss instead of gain. Young people, I read this from hymn 749, stanza 7. May the Lord give you the grace to pray this way, Lord, make me willing to receive the experiences I need. Then just don't think about it. For you have settled it. And our Father God knows when, what, where, and how to touch you. And when that happens, you'll realize what is taking place. And afterward, when things have kind of settled, you will bow down and worship. Thank Him. Thank you, Father. You have gained. The gate is open. Now flow out for the body. And now we come to section 3 in point E. Having the outflow of life requires that we be one with Christ in His life-releasing death. This is to be identified with the smitten Christ, typified by the smitten rock. We cannot directly participate in the redemptive aspect of Christ's death. Only He, the God-man, with no sin, could die on the cross in our place for our redemption. We can only receive the redemption, the salvation that issues from that. But we know when His side was pierced, blood and water flowed out. The blood signifies the redemptive aspect. The water signifies the life-releasing aspect of His death. And this is how ministry, now I'm thinking more of the actual ministry of the word, but it applies to every degree of ministry. And that is, we are one with Christ in the life-releasing aspect of his death. And that was typified by the rock that was smitten. And the rock was Christ. The rod signifies the cross that was smitten. And then living water flowed. And the future and the consummation of the Lord's recovery will need brothers who are not only able to participate in the leadership in the church, not only to function as part of the work, but they will be able to minister the word because they were willing to experience being one with the life-releasing aspect of Christ's death. Ministry is produced by revelation plus suffering. Suffering produces the ministry, and then suffering is needed for carrying out the ministry. You don't need to know, but some wise, mature saints, older saints and mature, they realize having messages like this prepared and released has a price, has a cost. But the cost means nothing compared to the blessing that Christ as the tree of life is to all of us. So now I read the subpoints and we're in the last section. Wow, I'm way ahead of time. I'm not done yet, but I have my clock here. I thought it wouldn't be at this point. Okay, I'm back to what I'm doing now. Okay. When we are one with Christ, as the smitten rock, the divine life as the living water flows out from us. And that's what I experienced just recently. In receiving an email from a brother, older brother, not elderly, but early 60s, seriously ill, hospital for a long time, now recovering, can't stand, can't walk. But every contact from him, life is flowing. Flowing. It's not in vain. The living water is flowing. Just what would happen in any local church if even in half of the saints in every meeting, living water would flow? Every prayer meeting, every Lord's Day meeting, every young people's meeting. It's going to happen. The Spirit will follow the word released, and he's going to carry it out. And he's going to honor the prayers that you've been offering this weekend. And you've been offering them, haven't you? And even right now, some of you are. B, our human life, our natural life, must be smitten so that the living water may flow out from within us. If we are one with the smitten Christ, we will experience the crucifixion of our natural life through the smiting of his human life. Wait, let me go back to this. If we are one with the smitten Christ, we will experience the crucifixion of our natural life. And then as Christ's divine life flowed out as living water through the smiting of his human life, we also will experience the flow of the water of life through the smiting of our natural life. We will sense it's flowing. That's why we sang these hymns, "Oh, may my spirit flow." And in what section of the hymnal is that hymn? It's the section on building and the section on the church. We need the outflowing of our spirits for the building up of the church as the body of Christ. Are you willing, dear ones, to pay some price for that? Would you like the Lord to stand before you, to stand before the Lord And he would say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Your life, your living, your service contributed to the building up of the body of Christ and the preparation of my bride, of whom you are a part. Come into the joy of the Lord." Your life contributed to the fulfillment of the heart's desire of God. Little C, if we are one with the Smith in Christ, we will experience the crucifixion of our natural life. No, I read all this. Okay. I know where I am, but I guess I'm fond of repeating certain things. Now the final section, and then there will be the concluding word. And I'll be done. We'll have at least 30 minutes remaining. If we would minister life to others, we need to be aware of the attack upon the church by death, the gates of Hades. We need to be aware. Many of us, including quite discerning sisters, I know, they are really burdened for the prayer meetings and really know what prayer is, than to realize in the prayer meeting itself, death is attacking, and many saints don't know the difference between life and death. They say, everything is fine. Everything is good. We're doing what's right. We're doing what's good. Yes, you are being right and good. But we need to be aware of it. When we're aware of it, then we will insert life into the meeting. We won't just be passive. The Lord said, "Upon this rock I will build my church. The gates of Hades will not prevail against it." That is the power of death. This is Satan's ultimate weapon in various forms. But it will not prevail against the builded church. That implies the builded church is in the resurrection life of Christ, and the functioning saints are allowing their spirit to flow life into the meeting. So death comes in, they're aware of it, and they're now learning how to deal with it, to swallow it up by the power of resurrection life. We need to be aware of the attack. What is of God is characteristic, is characterized by life, and what is of Satan by death. In the church, everything that issues from God is life, and everything that issues from Satan is death. Satan's greatest fear with regard to the church is her resistance to his power of death. And before a church meeting, before a prayer meeting, before a conference or training meeting, the Lord may lead some, especially some praying companions among sisters, to bind death before the meeting, to release life for the meeting. We're praying the prayers in Matthew 18. We're in harmony. We're in the Lord's name. The heavens have bound what the enemy will try to do. We bind him. We shut him out. We release what the heavens have released. Right now, the heavens release a flow of resurrection life. Amen. 3, the eternal life within us can overcome death, both in ourselves and in other members of the church. I've had experiences of being in fellowship with dear brothers, and they didn't know it was happening, but the life flowing from them swallowed up the death that had been troubling me. I was saved in life through their fellowship. Then 4, as a reproduction of Christ, as the tree of life, we need to experience eternal life and minister this life to others by being a channel through which eternal life can flow. Okay, now, with the remaining 8 or 9 minutes, I want to, I think it's the Lord's leading and burden as a concluding word to this precious, wonderful, rememberable conference. I believe it's a turning point in the Lord's recovery. It's a new beginning. Our God on the throne said, I make all things new. Don't you feel newer right now than you were 72 hours ago? Wow, what a wonderful God we have. So this is the second question and a few minutes of fellowship regarding it. Concerning God's economy, what is the goal of our eating, enjoying, and living by the tree of life in the present age? We saw a clear and necessary word, vision concerning the eternal New Jerusalem. What does the Lord want to complete in this age? In other words, what is the goal of our eating, enjoying, and living by the tree of life in this age? The goal is the building up of the organic body of Christ. And now I want to read something from Brother Nee, from volume 157, the collected works. The title of the book is The Resumption of Watchman Nee's Ministry. And it's on pages 176 and 177. When I was in England, Brother Austin Sparks asked me what chapter in the Bible is the hardest to fulfill. I told him that the hardest chapter should be Ephesians 4 on the perfecting of the saints. After reading that chapter, I am very concerned that this chapter will not be fulfilled. I am confident about the other chapters, but I do not yet have the confidence about this chapter. For the past 2,000 years, Ephesians 4 has not yet been fulfilled. According to the present condition, I am afraid that given 2,000 more years, this chapter will still not be fulfilled. If this is the case, humanly speaking, the Lord will not be able to come back. It is true that the church is in desolation outwardly, but the question today is whether or not there is a group of people who will stand on God's side to receive God's riches and who will pay the price to appropriate these riches. And notice in what I read, Brother Lee emphasized Ephesians 4 on the perfecting of the saints. You may not have realized it, but all these seven feasts, these are perfecting meetings. It is the God-ordained way to work thoroughly in the lives of certain brothers and present them to the body as gifts. The apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherd teachers, to perfect the saints, to supply them, to equip them. This is what this conference has been doing. Because it is only the members of the body who will do the direct building up of the body. And I'm going to say something rather bold, but it's only a principle. You are here whether you realize it or not, not just to have a happy time, but to be perfected, to be supplied, to be ministered to be encouraged, to be shepherded. And the dear saints, that for various reasons they cannot be here, but they are fully in this meeting through the Zoom, in whatever language, they're the same. But another category on this weekend of saints that their health is fine, they have the time. This weekend is for other things. The Lord will have no way to use them to fulfill His purpose. Now I just read the verses that Brother Nee had in mind, and with the brief comments, and I'll be ending ahead of my scheduled time, I think, in Ephesians 4, starting with verse 11. And He Himself gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as shepherds and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints unto the work of the ministry. It's your work. It's your ministry that will build up the body, not my message. Our messages may supply you. To some extent they have. They've enlightened you. They've equipped you. They've motivated you. But dear beloved saints, only you can carry out the work of the ministry unto the building up of the body of Christ. Until we all arrive at the oneness of the faith and of the full knowledge of the Son of God, at a full grown man, at the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we may be no longer little children tossed by waves and carried about by every wind of teaching, but holding to truth in love, we may grow up into Him in all things, who is the head, Christ, out from whom all the body, being joined together and being knit together through every joint of the rich supply, and through the operation in the measure of each one part, causes the growth of the body unto the building up of itself in love. That final verse, verse 16. The prayer rising up in my being, an outcry to the Lord. When, O Lord, will Ephesians 4:15 be fulfilled? Lord, we make our request known. This verse will be fulfilled now. Amen. Through us in your recovery. And we will partake, enjoy, experience, live by the tree of life for the fulfillment of this verse. That the greatest of prophecies, I will build my church, which is the organic body of Christ. Brother Nee made it very clear. If this portion is not fulfilled, the Lord has no way to come back. The body is built up first. Then the built up body will be presented to the coming Christ as His bride. This is seen in Genesis when Eve was presented to Adam. First, the Lord had to build a human body, a female human body. And then He presented her to Adam. He didn't say, oh, another human body. This is bone of my bone. This is flesh of my flesh. I have my counterpart. My whole being is waiting for that hour when we can stand before Him and say, He can say, finally, flesh of my flesh, bone of my bones, you are counterpart. Let's get married. So this is As some know, a constant burden in my being as we're nearing the end of this age. And I hope you can see the connection with all the six messages coming together, converging on the goal. We were created in the image of God to represent God. And the only way we can fulfill this is to eat, enjoy, and live by the tree of life. And the only way the great prophecy can be fulfilled is that we eat, enjoy, and live by the tree of life. So now, I hope it is somewhat clear that the goal from God's point of view of this conference is the building up of the organic body of Christ, the maturation of the one new man, the reality of the kingdom of God, and ultimately, the readiness of his bride. When this is taking place, deep within, we can pray that precious prayer. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Now, I need to share the final thing about the sharing from the saints. We appreciate very much the high percentage of the younger ones that come. We need your portion. But this message needs not only your portion, but even more, a confirming portion from older saints, wherever you are. Please stand against your disposition. Even if you're in the middle of a row. And so I hope Brother Bob will agree with this and make this clear. When we set up the mics, those that are younger, 40, please wait about a minute before you come up. And then the responsibility would be left with the saints throughout. Don't let the enemy hold you back. Many of you know from experience some of the points that have been covered. Many of you have had the burden that has been released in this message. And I need you as your brother, your confirmation and your completion of this message, supported by the sharing of saints of all ages and all stages. So please set up the microphones. Brother Bob will direct us. And I will sit down in peace and joy. Praise the Lord.